Welcome to Koish Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast, where, as always, the focus is on connecting business with vital grassroots sports and indeed charities, both here in the UK and throughout the world. This is Tony Rice, and I must say, it's always an honour to welcome to you Koish Sports members. Joining me tonight in that very capacity is Mark Dawson from Dawson Business Growth. Mark, welcome. How are you doing?
Tony, I'm very well. You?
Hey, do you know what? Not too bad. I kind of like this early goings of a new year. I kind of feel full of vim and vigour and optimism. So long may that continue. We'll watch this space. But yes, yeah, so absolutely good. Anyway, Mark, great to speak with you. I hate these things to sort of feel like a job interview. They're not. But if you could, just for those who aren't aware of yourself, could you just give us a little bit of an insight into your own journey into kind of, I guess, being the guru there at Dawson Business Growth?
Absolutely. So I'm based a little bit about 10 miles south of Leeds. And I'd started working in banking too many years ago now when I left school. And my journey was pretty much started off in branch networking, network banking, and then progressed through to looking after branches of different banks and finance companies, and then ended up moving into collections and recoveries. And I looked after quite a few different units, both remotely and locally. And, you know, that industry has gone through a lot of change in the last 25 years. You know, when I first started out, it was very much customer face-to-face, and then it migrated towards more of a centralised operation. And I've headed up departments both locally and centrally, and all over the country as well. So I've worked in places as disparate as Bristol, Belfast and Norwich, as well as London. And the one thing that you get with these big companies when you're working in that kind of industry is you have support from external consultants who will come in and kick the tyres and make sure that the business is working in the way that it should be doing. And then at a board level, you get non-executive directors who come in once a month and again have a look at the business model, make sure that the business direction of travel is where it should be going. So, to cut a long story short, back at the start of 2021, I was given the option to either go work in Londonderry for a year from my previous employer, or take redundancy because the job that I'd been doing for the previous few years, whilst being successful at it, had kind of come to an end. I didn't fancy having to travel to Londonderry every week, to be honest with you. Because if you've ever gone there, you've got to fly from Liverpool on a Monday morning. That's the only flight to Derry. And then you've got to fly back on a Friday evening. And the alternative is you get a flight from Manchester, and then it's a 3.5 to 4 hour drive from Belfast to Derry when you get there.
It's not ideal after a long, hard working week, is it?
Absolutely. Plus the fact as well that earlier in my career, when I was working over in Belfast, that's where I met my wife, and she came back over here with me. So I don't think it'd be very nice for me to go back over there without her.
And so I guess then, faced with that option, the alternative beckoned. And I guess that was the catalyst, I suppose, for business, Dawson Business Growth.
Absolutely. Then,
just give me a kind of tip of the iceberg insight into the kind of services and support that you guys provide.
So, what I love to do is when we go into a business, we will take a look at how the business is operating at the moment, how it's functioning at the moment. And we do that by a deep dive. So we'll go in and look at every element of the business now, be that people, systems, procurement, whatever you want to, wherever I think that there's going to be a net gain for the business owner, we'll go in and take a look at it. And we can do that over a 12-month period, or we can do it over a shorter period as well if the client just wants a very quick, come in, help me out, and then move on. But again, it's going back to the ethos of having larger businesses where you get somebody to come in, just kick the tires and make sure that the business is working well. And that's kind of the thinking that we've got behind us at Dawson Business Growth. We're trying to help smaller and medium-sized businesses with that kind of support that the larger businesses out there get as a rule.
I think the key thing there is empowerment, isn't it? Because ultimately, you know, when you are in this sort of SME sector, which of course is the lifeblood of our economy here, you're probably in it for you have a particular skill, but then you don't necessarily have that broader kind of vision. And I guess what you do is kind of identify the elements within the bigger picture, which can be done better, freeing up the kind of individual to do the things that they're very good at in the first place.
It's exactly that, Tony. Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing as well is, when you think about it, when a small business owner is working on the business day to day, it's very easy to get sucked into that day to day and lose focus on the strategic view that you need to be able to make it successful and move it forward. So oftentimes it's just another pair of eyes going in there and saying, have you thought about this? Because they've moved away from that strategic activity.
Obviously, the businesses have invited you in, and obviously, you know, they need your support. They recognise a need for that. But I'm curious, is there ever a sense of resistance to this process before they kind of see the light, so to speak?
Oh, there absolutely is, yeah. Because, I mean, again, and it's understandable, because someone's going to put their heart and soul into this business that they've built from scratch. So a lot of the times, you know, one of the questions I often get asked is, how can you know more about my business than me? Well, the answer is I don't. What I do understand is the elements of the business that, you know, that it's the marginal gains that you can put into your business to improve the productivity, to improve the profitability of the business, just by looking a bit deeper than you would do as a business owner.
Just love that. And as a huge fan of sports, you know, I think this kind of concept of marginal gains is something that we can all learn from. And it takes, I think, almost a sense of, you know, overwhelm away from us when we really kind of get it. It is the inch by inch, it's the little touches. And within that, my understanding is how important it is to have a sense of the visual element to this bigger process. Can you just explain some of the kind of flow processes that you power people to have, and that kind of ability to almost literally see these changes in place?
Well, if you take a look at the website, which is DawsonBusinessGrowth.com, you can see the wheel that we use there to actually talk people through the different elements of the business that we can probably help them with. And there's nothing revolutionary about it. It's very much just elements that they'll know that they need to look at on a day-to-day basis. But again, it's just that they lose sight of it. So when you're talking about improving the flow of the business, well, that can be as simple as, do you have all your processes documented? Do you have training in place for your people to make sure that those processes are implemented as effectively as possible? Do you have defined KPIs in place? And do you test those KPIs to make sure that they're accurate and actually do what you need them to do for your business? What does your review structure like for your people look like for your people? You know, is it linked to what you want the business to achieve? Do you have continuous improvement in place? Do you always, you know, assess everything or on a regular basis assess things? And it comes down initially as well to recruitment. And do you get the right people in place? Are the right people in the right roles? Or are people sat in roles that they've been doing for 4 or 5 years that are now kind of obsolete to what the business needs?
What this is all about, it strikes me, is really making sure that you are ensuring that your clients have a total appreciation for the culture of their business. Would that be a fair appraisal?
It absolutely is. It absolutely is. And the thing that you find about with culture as well is, I've walked into businesses in the past where I ask the business owner, do all your people buy into your culture, your vision, your culture, do they buy into that? And the answer will be, yeah, of course they do. And then you go on the shop floor and you speak to people and ask them that, and they go, don't know, I just come here at 9, leave at 5. Because something somewhere has been lost, you know. So one of the things is, well, how often do you speak to your people? How often do you cascade things? Do you have things like one-to-ones at all, you know, to make sure that people understand the direction that the business needs to go in, and absolutely, as you say, what the culture is of the business that they need to strive towards?
What I really appreciate about this, Mark, is that, as you say, you would never pretend to know any ex-business, but there is, it seems to me, certain common processes, ways of working that map out across kind of multiple sectors, multiple industries. Is there a specialism within Dawson Business Growth, or again, is it that ability to really get a handle and educate in ex-business on how to make those incremental gains?
The specialism, if anything, is about making sure that you're operationally sound, because that is my background. My background is completely operations. You know, I can manage a spreadsheet, I can manage a forecast, but my specialism is making sure that that translates into an operation that runs smoothly. But obviously, to allow the operation to move smoothly, you've got to make sure that your financials are in place, you've got to make sure that your people are in place. It's pulling all the different elements of the business together and making sure that they run smoothly.
And as you rightly identify, it is, you know, let's not put the cart before the horse. It is that recruitment process, which is absolutely key. If you get good people buying into a culture with clearly defined awareness of where they're progressing within that culture, then almost by osmosis, things will pull together. But I guess what's really interesting, I think, at this moment, it's just how crucial have you found this ability to educate businesses in what is an immensely challenging period in our collective history?
I think that you're finding some businesses are moving towards it because, you know, you see in the news, and it's a true thing, you know, the great resignation, where people are becoming disincentivized to do work that they've been doing for years and years because they see a better way of doing things. So I think there are some business owners out there who are moving with that and making sure that they focus on keeping their key people happy. And that's the core tenet, isn't it? You've got to make sure that you understand what makes your key people tick and what they want out of not just the job, but also what they want out of a wider life approach as well. Now, obviously, there's always give and take because a business can't offer everything that people want.
Of course.
Otherwise, I'd be working one day a week and sitting around doing nothing else the rest of it. but you've got to have a kind of a flexible structure in place nowadays, I would suggest. Make sure that you support people with what their aspirations and aims are.
And that kind of maps onto, I think, the really interesting elements of what you guys are all about, where we move beyond this kind of mythical sense of flow, which is where we're in a state of appreciation and being appreciated and knowing what we're doing and pulling together, to overflow, where I guess ultimately we talk legacy, don't we? But it means, I suppose, and you can best define, whereby that it doesn't really matter any individual running the ship will always be there. Give me an idea of that journey towards overflow that you help people on.
Well, that's one of those key requirements there, is making sure that you have key people and you empower them to move forwards. So one of the requirements really that I'll set out with people is that you need to get your key people into a position where they can run the business without you being there. That then frees your time up to focus on other areas, be that working strategically, be that looking at other opportunities to grow your overall business portfolio or even your investment portfolio, because you've got the time now. Because the one thing that business owners don't have when they start out is time. Once you're in a position that you've empowered your people and got them to buy into that culture and buy into what you want from the business, then you'll find that the business will run itself through those people and through the changes to other areas of your business that we'll talk about. And that frees up your time to be able to do things and still earn money from the business that you would have done anyway.
Beautiful. And we'll build more on that in just a moment. But literally empowering people is what Koi Sports is all about. And it's always an absolute joy for me to speak to people like yourself who've become members here at Koi Sports. And I'm always intrigued, Mark. How did you learn about Koi Sports? How did you get involved?
So I have an associate, a friend called James Houtby, who runs a travel business. And I know him through a few other networks he were in. And he recommended Koi to me. And I got speaking to Dave and really liked what I heard. Joined a meeting before I joined the Koi, obviously. Really enjoyed the meeting, liked the people who were involved, and just thought, you know, it's coming back to that word, really, and I don't know if you use it, but, you know, it's a really nice culture in Koi. There's a really great desire to want to improve people's lives through sport, and I think that's just, you know, just such a great thing to have. I've always been keen on sport myself. Not as active as I used to be nowadays. Mainly limited to walking and hiking nowadays. But I used to, you know, run a lot when I was younger and play football. But
now I just sit and watch football. I'm sure fan of pretty much all sports. But,
Oh, and that as well, absolutely.
Nevertheless, there are, thankfully, so many people who do literally get involved in sport. It is something I truly believe is vital. And I know that you're providing vital support to the fantastic Dewsbury Dolphins Amateur Swimming Club. Can you just give me a little bit of an insight into what it is that led you to select that great organisation to be, you know, your supported charity organisation, really?
Absolutely, yeah. So, I mean, the Dolphins have been going for over 100 years, but they are very much an amateur swimming club, so they do rely on member subscriptions only. The primary driver for me wanting to support them was that my son's been a member for a few years now, and he really enjoys his time there. Now, as a club, as I've said, who are primarily funded by member subs on the swim nights, the pandemic and lockdown have really affected them, not only from a cash flow perspective, but also from a member perspective as well, because obviously you get a lot of children who fall out of the, you know, weekly swim and just don't go back again. Didn't go back again. So I just thought this was a good way to support the club, not only through, you know, a donation, but also to promote them through channels that they wouldn't usually use in the hope of it helping to increase their membership in the future, basically.
Perfect. And, you know, again, you've really almost, in a proverbial nutshell, really kind of appreciated and got to the absolute core of the Koi Sports kind of ethos there, Mark. And it's just it never ceases to astonish me the people like you who got out there who truly, truly get it. But one thing I would like to come back to now is the kind of Dawson business growth. And for those listening who may be curious to learn or maybe want to get it, what is the best website once again, please?
Yeah, it's www.dawsonbusinessgrowth.com, and it's all one word, is Dawson Business Growth.
Perfect. And again, we've mentioned, obviously, we're all in this challenging period of time, and, you know, I think it's imperative that businesses do at least endeavour to see a different point of view, which, what's the worst that can happen? Can you give me an idea as to what you think might be next in 2022 and beyond for yourself personally, as maybe more people increasingly, so to speak, get with the program and the need for the vital services you provide?
Absolutely. So there are three things that we're doing this year at Dawson Business Growth. The first one is a core offering whereby we are looking to get another three or four core clients on board who will work with monthly. And that's backed up by a guarantee that if we don't increase the bottom line by what we've agreed to do over the first year, then any monies that we haven't increased it by, we won't charge them.
Can I just ask you to repeat that one more time? Because yeah. I respect that so much. Because Absolutely. There are a lot of people who will talk a jolly good game, but at the end of the day, I would never make such a similar claim. Could you just kind of repeat that? Because it has genuinely astonished me.
Nice, cool, yeah. So on the monthly contract, if We will agree what we're going to improve the business by at month 3. If we don't improve the business by that amount by month 12, we will refund any fees that have been paid that we haven't earned basically through that contract.
That's absolutely brilliant. And yes, so that was sort of, I guess, tenet one. What was the second one before I briefly intruded upon your flow there, Mark?
No, that's fine. Secondly, as well, we're looking to support more local businesses who don't potentially have the cash flow to go on a monthly plan, just to go in with some support and quick hits to help them move their business to a level where we can support them in the future. And with any client, we do also offer an hour free upfront as well. So we're quite happy to go in there, have a chat, and see whether we think there's anything we can do before we actually even start charging any money before that.
Literally nothing to lose there. If you are listening, then what can you lose by just having an hour and picking a brain? And if it resonates and connects, well, I just think you are on to a winner. Anything further, Mark? I mean, honestly, this is really genuinely impressive.
And then the final one is we're just working on building an online offering at the moment as well. Now, that will probably go live in about March or April time. And that's very much aimed at people who want to get some self-help and want to work with a group of like-minded people. So we're just scoping that at the moment. We hope to bring that live around about April or May time.
Very exciting times, and to build on what is, I think, a truly fantastic business model. And, I just wish you every continued success with it, Mark. Remind me once again of those listening of that vital website, please.
Yeah, so it's all one word. It's DawsonBusinessGrowth.com.
Perfect. Is there anything in closing you'd like to just bring to our attention or crystallise at all?
No, I just wanted to thank you very much for this opportunity. And as well as the website, if anybody local to Dewsbury wants to check out the Dolphins, it would be great to see people there.
Absolutely brilliant, Mark. Listen, it's been a joy to enjoy your company. I look forward to witnessing this continued growth and development. And have yourself a jolly good rest of 2022 and indeed beyond. Thank you once again.
Thanks, Tony. You too.
You've just heard from Koi Sports member Mark Dawson from Dawson Business Growth. His membership will be contributing towards the Dewsbury Dolphins Amateur Swimming Club. And from the Dolphins now, we're making a splash with their member, Chris Blakely. Chris, how are you? How are you keeping?
Okay, thank you. Not too bad, considering.
Hey, keeping bearing up under the strain, as they say. Fantastic.
Yeah. January is a full time for people in my profession.
It's tough times for us all, I think. But there we go.
Yeah.
Anyway, look, always great to speak to you guys again. It's what it's all about here at Koi Sports is the essence of communities and sports' role within that. But just because we delve deep into the Dewsbury Dolphins Amateur Swimming Club and what you guys are all about, just tell us a little bit about yourself, Chris, and how long have you been involved with the club there?
So my background with Dewsbury, I joined as a child member, probably mid-teens, early teens, went through the swimming club, then moved into water polo, a bit more of a team sport, a bit more interesting than sort of swimming up and down, but the swimming is the background to any sport within water, really. So kept in touch, left for a small period, came back in probably late teens and sort of got more involved in running the club there, trying to put back in. And because I was still doing the polo alongside it, which the club was one arm of the club, then became treasurer and went forward from there. So that's sort of my links to the club. And personally, I've trained as an accountant and run an accounting practice in Horbury, just in part of Wakefield. So my connection to the club or my contribution now is generally on the numbers side. But as with any small sports club, run completely by volunteers, so you kind of get dragged into everything. So on the committee, doing a bit of volunteering here and there, lifeguarding, doing the rest of it, basically. along with, we've got about 15 to 20 active volunteers that help run the club day to day.
Sorry, really important. Really appreciate that. I guess one thing that's really struck me there is that your relationship with the club has been long-standing. Generally, from your perspective, from your own experiences, how crucial would you say that grassroots sport in this context, swimming specifically, is to individuals and their sense of development as they progress through life?
Well, yeah, I mean, it is important from what I've witnessed. Any sort of grassroots, yeah, I would say, because it's not necessarily just the sport. The one thing I find with swimming, with water polo, with my experience and with a lot of other sports that you see now that I've got kids myself, is it builds relationships, it develops other skills, not just the sport. So like with the swimming, it's a very social thing. Yeah, you might be swimming up and down, but then you get out, you chat with your mates, we do a lot of social things. And through like the water polo thing, I've got friends who I've known all my life and will be lifelong friends. So it does develop and it keeps people in touch. You know, people might go away, go to university, but when they're finished, they come back and they get back involved again and basically contribute, and it becomes more of it does become a community within a community when it's such a small group, especially when it's run just by volunteers and everyone's putting in and no one's really, apart from the people that are being taught, no one else is getting anything out of it. It's, you know, it's more of a putting in than a getting out.
Brilliant stuff. And how many members do you guys have at this moment in time?
At the moment, we're still a little bit low, which is probably the same for most amateur sports. We felt the knock from COVID. At its peak, we probably had anything up to 150 active members. It probably dropped off down to about 100 in the last couple of years because the way we run now with the facilities at Dewsbury Sports Centre, Cal, which is sort of the people that run the facilities, they're running lessons there as well, so we've got to work alongside them, and we've had to cut our numbers down so that we can basically take swimmers now from level 5, whereas we used to take them from absolute beginners, where they used to get in the waters. So our numbers dropped off a little bit. We started to pick back up, then COVID hit, so we're back down again. So like every sport, I'd say at the moment, I think we're probably closer to maybe 75 members, including volunteers and everything, but we need to get back over that 100 mark. That's kind of our tipping point, and get back over 100 for self-sufficient cost wise of and everything else that's going on.
You're dead right. It has been a super challenging times, and I think it's affected us all. We can't shy away from that. But COVID has really bit the local grassroots communities, which is why we are delighted at Koi Sports to be here to offer some support. And I know from talking with Mark Dawson, he's very passionate about what you guys are all about. Just give us an idea, if you can, about how that kind of contribution will prove beneficial as you work to progress, maybe back up to that 100 level.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, any kind of funding that the club can get is fantastic. And the money that obviously is coming from Koi Sports helps along with it all. At the moment, because of the numbers, the biggest cost to the club is pool hire. You know, it's not a cheap sport. Everyone thinks, you know, it's just a pair of trunks, but it's not. It's the trunks, it's the kit, it's the pool hire, it's everything that goes with that. We are run by volunteers, so there's no other overheads really. It's basically the pool hire cost, but they do mount up. So because the numbers are low, any money from that will help cover costs, cover running costs, and just keep us going for the time being until we build back up. Because we don't want to lose the club. Because once it's gone, it's gone. It's never going to come back. So that money will help us keep sort of ticking over whilst we build the numbers back up in this sort of time as where we are at the moment.
Absolutely. My goodness me, what a rich heritage it has been. I think in the kind of form of the Dewsbury Dolphins since 78, but previous to that, I think has kind of links back to sort of 1875.
Yes, the club was formed technically in 1875. We're led to believe it is over, on all our stationery and everything that's gone back the years. It's had a few sort of names over the years. It used to be in a different pool as well, and the pool changed, as like they do. So yeah, Dewsbury Swimming Club. We used to have a competitive arm, which was Dewsbury Dolphins. Now the official name is the Dewsbury Amateur Swimming Club, and we're set up as a company limited by guarantee, like most club structures are now. So it's had various names, and yeah, a rich heritage. There are trophies that still fly around with name, that were donated by families of people that were involved with the club for years and years and then passed away, so they'd produce trophies in their name which the club would compete for. It's a long time since we've done that because of galas and things weren't being allowed for a while. They're coming back. But yeah, the heritage is definitely there, and it stays there. A lot of the families and people involved with the club have been involved for years and years, a lot longer than I have, some of them. And I've been treasurer there for, I think, best part of 20 years now. And there's some people that predate me, so it definitely holds on to its members.
And that's so, so crucial. I'm not sure if it's been possible in this recent challenging times, but I think you have quite strong links internationally with Germany. Just give me a bit of a flavour of that kind of opportunity that you've been able to provide over the years.
Yeah, so Dewsbury's twin town, I think we twin with Berghammen, I think is the right way of saying it, in Germany, near Dortmund. So every year we run an exchange visit, again, for since I was involved in the club. We'll alternate each year. One year they'll come to us, normally the October half term. The next year we go to them. Basically we take a coach over with volunteers again, swimmers, and spend a week over there competing against their swimming club in a gala. But again, just living with their families, getting to know how they do things. And again, going back to relationships and grassroots sport, the relationships that have been built up from country to country are just as strong as the ones just within the club. There's some people that have been doing that for years from their side and from our side. And, you know, they would class each other as close friends and regularly communicate, even though we've not been able to go for the last 2 years. And it might be another 2 years before, or even further before, we can potentially start it up again with, cross-border situations as they are.
I love it. Amateur sports providing international links and bonds. It's really what it's all about. I guess people listening, if they are looking to maybe get back into sport, or maybe they are looking to, forgive the pun, dip their toe in the water, what would your recommendation be? What would your suggestion be?
You've basically got a few options with swimming. You've got the join the local gym, which is, you know, what most people will do, and then they generally burn out come February, March. You know, everyone joins up in January, and then by March they've realised they've not gone for a few weeks, and by December they've been paying for 12 months and not going. If you join a club like Dewsbury Amateur Swimming Club or any local swimming club, hopefully it keeps your interest a bit more. It is more than just going swimming on your own, getting fed up and giving it up. You know, you come back, you're part of that community, you get involved. It's not just about swimming up and down. It's everything else that goes with it. It's the social side of it. And you meet people from all age groups and all, you know, areas of the community, which just makes it so much more interesting. It's also, I would suggest, a bit more cost efficient as well, because we are, you know, generally cheaper than a gym membership. Or if you're going through professional, nothing wrong with the professional swimming lessons, because of my kids' age group, they can't join the club yet, so I'm having to put them through all the lessons. But as soon as they can, I'll bring them into the club. For cost-wise, we're basically charged at the moment, it's £12 a month standing order, and you get to come down once a week and swim on a Thursday night for that, and get coaching and everything thrown in as part of that package, basically.
It sounds phenomenal, and again, it is really literally reflecting everything that Koi Sports is all about, and we genuinely wish you continued success as things, fingers crossed, pick up. I'm just curious on this, because again, as we've discussed, in context, it's a very challenging time, but just in the kind of bigger picture at the elite level, even somebody such as myself, who wouldn't necessarily kind of consider myself a swimming fan, when the Olympic fever hits, and, you know, PT, for instance, is a household name these days. Have you felt as though awareness and kind of willingness to engage with swimming has picked up and rippled down from that elite level?
I'll be honest, but probably not too much, to be fair. I know some sports, I know Wimbledon generally always gets tennis going again, and ones that come around like that, the World Cup obviously gets people that interested in football. I wouldn't say we ever see a massive insurge around big sporting events like the Olympics or things like that, because, you know, it's always there. I see where you're getting to, but yeah, I don't think we ever do. I don't think we ever do see that. It's more, we get most of our members probably through referrals of other members. We are trying to push now, so periodically we go out to schools and things like that and market to, because it is very much the younger end, so it's probably not the ones that are necessarily watching the Olympics and things like that. We try and pick them up at a younger age. Swimming is one of those things that, unless you're really good and you're at the peak end, you generally drop off around mid-teens, a bit like I did. I left the club mid-teens, came back again when I was a bit older and could contribute back. But yeah, generally at that age, they go off, you know, and the other more interesting things to do. And then they come back a bit later in.
Well, it's great that you've come back. And I think it's great that, you know, the Dewsbury ASC is there doing wonderful things. Is there anything you would like to just crystallise or just draw to our attention at all in closing?
No, I suppose the only thing from the club's point of view, is to reiterate, we are completely volunteer run. So there's, you know, nobody gets anything back out of the club other than, you know, the community, this team spirit and the swimming. We are, again, because of that, we are priced quite low. So we tend to pick up people from all over the community because they can afford it. If you now wanted to, like I said, if you wanted to join the gym, or even if you wanted to send your kids just to proper paid, you know, professional swimming lessons through your gym or through your local community, you can probably be talking what equivalent of a decent sized mobile phone contract. You're going to be talking 30 or 40 quid, whereas compared to us at £12. And that is purely because we don't have staff to pay. We don't have, you know, people aren't doing it to make a living.
Yeah.
We're doing it to put something back in, which helps keep the cost down and helps us provide, you know, a life-saving skill to kids who might not necessarily be able to afford it through the normal streams.
Absolutely love that. Again, breaking down barriers, incredibly affordable. And as you rightly say, it's a skill. It could maybe one day save your life. You never know.
Yeah, to save someone's life, it's been worth doing.
Sounds wonderful. Listen, for me, Chris, it's been a joy to appreciate your company. Wish everybody there at Dewsbury ASC a really good rest of 2022 and indeed beyond. And as I say, you truly are almost embodying everything that Koi Sports is all about. So just saluting you all.
Thank you very much. Been a pleasure.
For more information and to engage with Dewsbury Swimming Club, check out www.dewsburyasc.co.uk. That's www.dewsburyasc.co.uk. And you can email to dewsburyswimmingclub@gmail.com. Email to dewsburyswimmingclub@gmail.com. Get involved. This has been Tony Rice for Koi Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast. If you like what you've heard and are interested in becoming a member of Koi Sports CIC, or simply looking for more information about all our phenomenal members and, of course, the amazing work being done here, take a moment and simply visit www.koisports.co.uk. I'll repeat, that's www.koisports.co.uk. And be sure to listen in next week for another Koi Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast.